Galatians 5, 16 through 23. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for waking us up and giving us the desire, God, to come and worship and pray to you and listen to your word. We give this time to you. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this during this summer, when I have the privilege of preaching on Fridays, I have been thinking, what should I preach on during this time? I have 10 Fridays when I'll be preaching. And so I decided that I will do a series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There are 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know what we'll do for the 10th week, but we'll focus on the 9 from this week. So the fruit of the Spirit, you have to understand, it's not fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit of the Spirit. So there's one fruit, and I think it's talking about the evidence, the result of us living in the Spirit. The result of us having the Holy Spirit fill our hearts, the Spirit of God living through us, the evidence of that or the result of that is this fruit of the Spirit. And the way I understand it is that the fruit, you have to think of it like an orange. You know how if you open an orange, there's all these different, that great of an illustration, because all of the pieces are the same in an orange. But think of it like an orange, and it just has love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in it. So it's one fruit. It's not there's multiple different fruits coming out of us. So the evidence of the Spirit in our lives, you know, last week on Sunday, we talked about spiritual formation, how as we engage in the disciplines, it's a slow process of forming our spirit. Our spirit being formed into the likeness of Christ, spiritual formation. And this would be the evidence of spiritual formation, that our spiritual life is being formed into the likeness of Christ. And it's not something we simply just strive to achieve. It's not just, you know, we've been talking about it this past 2 Sundays. It's not just willpower. We're not just willing ourselves and working really hard. I'm sure we can do it for a time, but what we're looking for is inner transformation, not just behavior modification. We're not just trying to behave in a loving way and trying to just striving and trying to act like a loving person, but what we're longing for, what we are going after, is that we would be transformed from the inside out, that we actually become a person of love, and love flows out of us. Joy flows out of us. Okay. So, yeah, it's the radical middle, right? It's all dependent on the Holy Spirit, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, but there's also things we can do. We can decide to spend time with God, and we can decide to pray about these things, and we can choose the loving way while relying on the Holy Spirit to actually change us. So, yeah. Okay, so today we're going to talk about love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. When people see you, do they see love? When people see you, when non-Christians see you, when other Christians see you, do they say, wow, Jason, who is Jason? Jason, man, he is love. That's what the scripture says about God. God is love, right? So Jason, Ben, he just loves people so well. Is that what they see in us when they see us? I just have three aspects of love that I thought we could meditate upon. You know, it's a huge topic, so just have to narrow it down. But love, what does it mean that the evidence of the Spirit of God living in us and working in us is that people will see love coming out of us? And I want to talk about three aspects of this love that I guess we can display to the world. Number one is, first, knowing and understanding that we are loved by God. Not so much us loving other people, but knowing, and there's when people see us, they can see, wow, this person knows that he or she is loved by God. This person is secure. There is a freedom that this person lives in because he knows, because she knows and understands that they are loved by God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold what great love the Father has lavished on us." Isn't that beautiful? "Behold what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. John is, you could see his excitement and his, he's amazed, right? Wow. He's like, wow, what great love, what kind of love has God given to us that we are called children of God? 1 John chapter 4, 19, we know this, we've talked about it many times at church. It says, "We love because he first loved us." The first step to us walking in love is first to receive love, to know God's love for us. Ephesians 3, 16 to 19, it says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So Paul is praying that for his disciples, for his church. He's saying, man, I pray that you would be able to know this love, that you would be rooted and grounded in love, and you would know this love. So to talk about God's love for you, again, is a huge topic, right? There's many things we could talk about. So I'm just going to focus on one thing, which is God's delight / pleasure over you. Do you know that God is delighted in you and is pleased with you? Matthew 3, 16 and 17 is the story of Jesus being baptized. And when he comes up out of the water, the dove descends upon him, and there's a voice from heaven, Father's voice, saying, "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with him." And I guess the question is, have you heard that voice? And do you hear that voice now? I want to ask you a question. When you think about God, is God mostly mad or mostly sad or mostly glad? Is God mostly mad at you or mostly sad with you, or is he mostly glad? And I think a lot of us Christians, we live like God is mostly mad because we're not good enough, or mostly sad. He's disappointed about something. And we don't often meditate on him being glad in us. And it starts at a young age. Last night, I was praying with our kids. We read a Bible. We have a little Bible book, and it has some discussion questions. And the first question, I mean, it never goes that well. My kids are too young to really discuss anything with me. But the question is, what do you think God wants you to do? It was like, I don't know, it's about obedience. And immediately, my mind went to God. I'm thinking for my kids, like, God wants you to obey your parents more or something. Like, you're not doing something right and God wants you to do this better. That's immediately how my mind went, and I was like waiting to see what they would say. They never even answered me, but they said something totally random, and they just moved on from the question. But it's just, that's how it is. And I remember discussing this in house church long, long time ago. If God could say one thing to you, what would he say to you? And I was expecting, because we had been talking about like the love of God, the father heart of God, that God, that people would say, oh, I love you, my child, or I'm so proud of you. But no, most people said, I wish you would pray more, right? I wish you would do this better. Oh, I miss you. I hope that you would read your Bible more or something. It's always about, you're not doing this enough and I want you to do better. I'm a little bit disappointed in you. I'm a little bit upset that you're not doing this well. So can you do better? And I don't know, performance mentality, we grow up with it. But we need to, if this could change, I remember, again, this is coming from my own experiences with my kids, because they break things all the time. My boys, they're quite wild, and it's just maybe a weekly occurrence, they break something. And sometimes I'll respond very well, and I'll love them, and I'll say, it's okay. Other times I get very annoyed, and I raise my voice, and you could see the look of like dejection, is that a word? Not rejection, but they feel dejected, right? You're like, oh, and I hate it. I remember when I was a kid, I don't remember, probably 9 years old, I broke something at home, and I was so scared. My mom was outside, and she was going to come home. And I remember feeling so scared and so worried, like, oh, my mom's going to be so mad at me. And then when my mom came home, and I told her what happened, she just said, I mean, I don't remember the details, but I just remember she was not mad at all. She was like, that's okay. How are you? Like, are you okay? Are you hurt? Are you okay? And you know what? That her word of love and just not being mad at me or not being disappointed with me completely set me free. And I was like, oh, my mom's not mad at me. And my whole demeanor changed, my heart changed, my attitude changed, my relationship with her changed. And I want to say to you, once you understand that God is delighted in you, he's not mad at you all the time, he's not disappointed in you all the time, but he actually is kind with you, and he's so pleased with you and proud of you, it's going to change. It's going to change. Your Christian life is no longer miserable, because you're trying to please someone that is impossible to please, but it's going to be one of freedom, you know, and joy. And you're going to be, it's the Christian life, it's actually the good news, right? The fact that you can have a relationship with God is actually good news. So that's the first one. Knowing and understanding God's love for you. Number two, the evidence of the Spirit living in us and working in us is love, right? The first one, for the Spirit is love. And the first aspect of that is knowing that we're loved. The second is loving God. Pastor Salamat said it last night, yesterday. The all of the Gospels, he summarized it into two things, loving God and loving others. That's basically my point number two and point number three. Love God, love others. But second point, loving God. Loving God, Matthew 22, 36 to 38. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Loving God, again, I want to talk about one thing. We're not commanded anywhere else to love something to this degree, right? Nowhere else in the scripture does it say, love this thing with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's only God. What does that mean? It means we're called to love God more than anything else in life. We're called to love Him. He needs to be our priority. He needs to be the thing that we love the most, the thing that we cherish the most, the thing that we treasure the most. And I just want to very simply encourage you to think about the love languages. Have you heard of the five love languages? It's words of affirmation. So love language is kind of a study of how a person best receives love, how a person best feels loved, or how does that person best communicate love to somebody, right? So in a marriage relationship, how do I communicate my love to my wife? There's five primary ways: words of affirmation, acts of service, doing something for her, physical touch, quality time, and gifts, right? Different people, depending on who you are, they best communicate that their love in this way, and they also receive love in this way. So I just want to ask you, I mean, just think about it for yourself. What is your primary love language? And do that with God. I just thought that was an interesting thought. What is my primary love language? Gee, I don't know. I'll do a test. You know, my receiving, I know, is words of affirmation, and that's how God loves me. Right? God constantly, in my quiet time with Him, through my just experiences at church, people praying for me, is constantly affirming me, saying, I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm pleased with you. I'm for you. Right? He knows my love language, so He constantly loves me in that way. And I should do the same to the Father. You know, kind of think about it in a relational sense and say, God, I don't know if it's acts of service. Maybe you could do something for God. You know, you can, you got to imagine a little bit, right? Maybe you can clean up the church, or you can go on an outreach, you know, serve somebody, but it's your way of saying to God, I'm serving this person, but God, I'm doing this to show you that I love you. You're my priority. I love you. I want you to know that I love you. It could be gifts, right? It could be giving Him something, offering Him something. You give something to somebody, and it's a gift to that person, but in your heart, primarily, you're saying, God, I want to give this to you. Like, I love you. It could be words of affirmation, saying to God, I honor you. You know, I was just thinking, as I came into church, I came into church and I sat down and I prayed. And it's a very Korean thing. Every time people go into church, in a Korean church setting, my dad's a pastor, so I know, they always go and they sit down. Whatever church they visit, they always pray. They sit down and they pray. And I always thought, why? Kind of strange. Kind of feels, to me, it feels a little bit showy. Like, and I imagine that there is a part of that. Korean church culture can be very religious, and it's about showing and kind of doing what you're expected to do. But you could also do it with a very genuine heart. As I came into church and I sat down, it was like me saying, God, you're my priority. Before I say hi to people, before I do this or that, I want to take the time to honor you and tell you words of affirmation. God, I love you. You're my first. And hopefully that's how it, people do it in Korea. You don't know people's heart, but quality time. Physical touch is the only one I'm not so sure. How would you do that with God? So if you have any thoughts, let me know. But quality time, if you're a quality time person, hey, spending time with God, right? Setting aside time. But yeah, I think if we say, man, God is my first love, but we show love to all these other things, but we don't actually show Him our love, then it probably means He is not our first love. So That's the second point. And then the third is loving others. Matthew 22:39, it says, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first and greatest. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. John 13:34-35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So loving others, just kind of trying to focus, narrow it down to one or two things that we can remember, is I thought loving others well, if it's evidence of the Spirit of God living in us, is that we show love to others. The first one would be considering what is best for the other person. Because I was thinking, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And what do we do with ourselves? We always consider what is best for me. Right? What do I want to eat? You know, today I feel like eating this and you eat that. And we love ourselves in that way. We consider what is best for me. And then we do that. We make sure we do that. So I think to love other people, it would be stopping and considering what is best for Grace? What is best for Wesley? What does this person need? And, you know, it's not always going to be indulging that person either, right? It's not like, oh, Wesley really wants to, I'm totally making it up, he wants to get drunk and party every night. Loving what's best for Wesley is to not do that. So I would say, don't do that, man. Like, I would talk to him and encourage him and pray for him and help him get out of that. It's not just indulging in whatever he wants. That's kind of how the world interprets love. Like, if you ever tell somebody, don't do something, you're so unloving. But no, like, loving person is what is actually best for that person. And we do that to ourselves, too. Right? We know that it's not good to just binge eat all the time and veg out, so we would discipline ourselves, work out, and do what is necessary, even though that's difficult. And loving others in the same way would be to have that difficult conversation. To say, hey, I think what you're doing is not good. And you probably know it. And I'm here for you. I love you. And I'm with you through it. And even when you mess up, I'm with you. But let's do better. So that would be the first. And the second is sacrificial. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And I mean, again, that's a huge topic to talk about. How has Jesus loved his disciples? But the one thing that I can think about is sacrificial, right? That he did, right? Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that you would lay down your life for your friend. And I remember talking to somebody, and it always remained with me. He said, he was about to get married, and he said, for me to die for my wife is easy. Like, if I had to jump in front of a truck to save her, I could do it. I mean, because I love her. But what is hard is every day, day to day, dying to myself so that I can bless her and her needs are met and my needs are sacrificed. And that always stuck with me. I thought that's so true. Like, if it's a one-time big sacrifice, I think we could do it. But if it's every day, week to week, meeting this person at house church, meeting this person at church, and I'm trying to die to myself. I think Peace Alamance said it last yesterday. It's like easy to give money, but if you have to like sit down with that person for an hour to hear what they're going through and to pray for that person, that takes more effort and that's more sacrifice than just giving money. And I think it's true, but that's what we're called to do, sacrifice. Die to our own selves, you know, our need to be liked even. I just keep going back to confronting somebody and telling that person in a loving way, hey, I think maybe this is not the best way. Often we don't do it because we just want to be liked and we don't want to have an uncomfortable conversation. But to sacrifice is to sacrifice your own need to be liked and to say, this is actually, I think, the best thing for this person, so I'm going to have that conversation. So I know it's a lot of things to cover in 25 minutes, but let's go before the Lord, and I'll ask Wesley to lead us in a song. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today we looked at love and three aspects of that. One is first, knowing and understanding God's love for you. Second is loving God. And third is loving others. And if we somehow our lives demonstrate that, then we can say, wow, that's the evidence of the Spirit of God working in this person, growing in their love for the Lord, growing in their love for others. And you could see the security, the freedom that he has or she has. So yeah, just go before God, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and let's sing this song.
I'm amazed by you.
Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing love for us. I pray that we may live out of that love, out of the knowledge of your love and your mercy, your kindness, and your delight over us. I pray that you would, Lord, would you help us feel your affection for us, God. Help us to feel and receive your affections for us. I think that's the first step. And then we can love you and love others. So I pray that you would put that in our hearts, God. Just a revelation, understanding, knowledge of your love for us, God. Thank you. Let's pray together for our church. Let's pray for those going through chemotherapy. So we've divided our cancer slides. There's too many. So one day we're praying for those who just have cancer, haven't started any treatment, but now on this day we pray for those who are going through some kind of therapy or surgery. Then we should actually put Ingrid on there, because her surgery date is June 23rd. So yeah, let's pray for these people on the list. Let's pray for God's healing and protection and covering over them. And just pray for healing. And I mean, yeah, and we also pray for Andrew and Hazel. We've added them to the list recently. Hazel, who has lung and brain cancer. So let's pray for that as well. So let's pray together for this people. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for those who are ill, but also they need salvation. They need to encounter God. Let's pray for the people on this list. Let's pray for those with various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing to come upon our friends. Thank you. let's pray for just the COVID situation. Kenny Chang and his family, protection from COVID for his family and for Kenny to be healed, and for our frontline medical workers. And actually, the numbers are going back up. So let's pray for our hospital workers. Really just pray for God's strength and wisdom and God's protection over them. And it's been a long battle, so let's pray that they will be strengthened in the Lord. And let's pray just for the COVID situation in Hong Kong as well, that it would be the numbers would come down, you know, that God would just protect the people of Hong Kong. Let's pray. Those looking for a job, let's pray for God's provision for our friends. Let's go to our Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for Japan, USA, and India, for our church plants there. India, for Kelly, she's a missionary there. So let's pray for these three places and the leaders in these three places. Let's pray for the Missions Council. Pray for P. Samuel Navarro and Tim, Sally, Mike, and John. Let's pray that they would be able to lead our missions endeavors well, that they'll really hear from God and serve our community and overseas well. Pray for SP Fam. Let's pray for Cadence as she leads this ministry. Pray for all the families that are currently fostering, and let's pray for new matches, right? New families and new babies that our families would be able to foster and care for. So let's pray. Let's pray for the Friday night gatherings, IP team tonight, SP youth, SPU. Let's pray for a really amazing time in all of those meetings. Pray for our pregnant moms, Fiona, Leslie, Tayon, Hina, and others. Let's pray for protection. Let's pray for safe delivery. For the house churches meeting tonight, let's pray for God's blessing and favor, anointing over those times. Thank you, God. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Help us to love you today, God, with our different love languages, Lord, that we would love you first, love you the most, and help us to love others, our co-workers, our neighbors, very well, God, and help us to live and walk in the Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.